The bank with the clock, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street and at Washington Square, brings you the 160th in a series of programs designed to help you know your city. A wise investment pays off in the long run. Investing in Industrial State Bank savings certificates is a wise move, and a safe one, too. For these certificates are insured up to $5,000 by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Industrial State Bank savings certificates are negotiable at any time. And best of all, they earn up to 2.5% interest. You can get Industrial State Bank savings certificates in $100 units. Stop in tomorrow at the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at 40th Street or at Washington Square, and ask a teller for more complete details concerning these certificates. Remember, for your convenience, the Industrial State Bank is open this evening from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Now, here's the editor of Know Your City, Dr. Dunbar.
Good evening. Kalamazoo has been a debt-free city since 1937. As many of you know, it is the largest debt-free city in the nation. It required over 16 years to attain the debt-free status. There was a setback during the Depression when new bonds had to be issued. But in 1937, the last of those bonds were burned, and the city never has had any bonded indebtedness since. Should this policy be continued, what are its advantages, and what are its liabilities? I have invited two citizens to meet with me here at the microphone tonight to discuss this important subject. I have with me Mrs. William McKinley Robinson and Vice Mayor Glenn Allen. Well, Mr. Allen, suppose you begin by telling us what you think about the future of Kalamazoo as a debt-free city.
Thank you, Dr. Dunbar. One cannot, in the abstract, make any statement about whether it's totally good or totally bad to remain a debt-free city. Certainly, it is unwise to go in debt just for the sake of being in debt. It's equally unwise to go into debt for any particular project unless the necessity for that project is balanced against the necessity of numerous other projects and the interest of the city as a whole. I think one of the best statements was made by Commissioner Gifford Upjohn at a luncheon club meeting shortly after he was elected to the City Commission some 2 years ago. He said the problem was like a business problem in a corporation. As a rule, he said, a corporation does not like to be in debt. But, he said, there may come a time when a corporation may find it necessary to go into debt to make necessary expansion or acquire capital for maintaining its competitive position. Now, I don't know what Mrs. Robinson is going to say tonight, but I suspect she may talk about some of the reasons for a not-so-strict adherence to the debt-free principle. Therefore, I would like to urge one or two reasons for remaining a debt-free city. Here are some facts in support of remaining a debt-free city. First, debt would result in a substantial portion of the budget being paid out in interest. If the city goes into debt, it would issue bonds. Bonds bear interest. Each year, a substantial part of the budget would go in interest. For example, the Gull Street Bridge bonds were issued in 1911 at 4%, maturing in 15 years, the principal amount $25,000. Actually, the city paid, in addition to the $25,000 on the bonds, $13,000 in interest, or 52% of the principal. The 1932 Social Service Relief bonds for $295,000 had interest at 4.5%, 5 years. The city paid $37,500 in interest. This is money going down the drain. Now, the second point in favor of remaining debt-free is that the city expansion program for capital improvements would either be reduced or the tax rate substantially increased. The 1949 city budget calls for $275,000 for capital improvements. For example, the Woods Lake project, the new municipal parking lot, the extension of our street lighting, the improvement of our storm sewers, the Upjohn Park improvement, our street intersection lights. If we issue bonds, we will pay interest. That interest payment will be subtracted from the $275,000, leaving less for capital improvement. The only alternative would be to increase tax rates.
All right, Mr. Allen, thank you for that statement. Now, Mrs. Robinson, suppose you give us your opinion on this subject.
Well, you're quite right, Mr. Allen, in thinking that I think there are times when it would be well to think quite carefully as to whether or not we want to hold to this policy or how closely we wish to adhere to it. Thrift is good. I agree with that. But as with other virtues, it's good as a means to an end and not as an end in itself. Now, even with all the pride that we have taken in the fact that Kalamazoo has been debt-free, we've never admitted to ourselves that it has been an end in itself. But in effect, it has worked that way at times. Now, as for example, one tends to seek security in the slogan and allow that to replace confidence in one's judgment in facing particular problems at particular times. As for example, when new needs arise or old needs are newly recognized, there's always the tendency to think of the expenditure for meeting those needs as being added to the budget, rather than thinking in terms of the actual need and thinking in terms of those needs in relation to needs for which we've already made allowance. Perhaps they should replace some of the others. So that it, thinking in a framework of debt-free tends to freeze the status quo, too. And then sometimes I think I've suspected at times that we have used this phrase, debt-free, as a front, rather than facing, at least publicly, some of the reasons for not giving more favorable consideration to some particular wants that the public has for which the public has expressed a desire. Then there's another reason why I think that we shouldn't get ourselves tied too closely to the idea of debt-free. The peak of need and the peak of resources may not coincide. Now, taking another taxing unit, at the present time we have this large group of war babies. The need is now. We can't wait until we get the money to build the schools for them. They're in school now, and they must have the schools at this particular time, whether or not we have that money at this particular time. And to me, it's sound to say, so far as government is concerned, that generally, the government may be conservative in good times, but in bad times, the government needs to act courageously. And that, of course, is one justification for having always ready a public buildings program or something of that kind. And we may not always have the money on hand at a time such as that. I might say this, though, as an outsider who came into Kalamazoo about 20 years ago, and at that time there was quite a bit of talk about this being debt-free. Then and always since then, it has seemed to me that this idea of being debt-free is quite in character with Kalamazoo. By tradition, we are a thrifty people. Both the tradition we build up within our own community and the tradition that most of our people brought from the old world. In addition to that, we are relatively a stable community economically. We don't go up too high, we don't go down too low. And that has made debt-free less of a hazard to us than it might be to some other communities. And it has been quite consistent with the community as I have always thought of the community. And I wouldn't say that thus far it has operated too badly for us. But at the same time, in the confused times that are ahead of us, I'd hate to see us shackle ourselves to a neat phrase such as debt-free. I would rather remain free even to make errors and make the decisions as the needs arise.
It would be interesting to know, wouldn't it, what Kalamazoo would have done back in the deep days of the Depression if the debt-free status had been attained by that time. Mr. Allen, do you suppose those commissioners back there in 1932 would still have issued those bonds and changed the status of the city if we had been debt-free at that time? I realize that's an impossible question to answer. Do you want to comment on it?
Well, at that time, Dr. Dunbar, as I remember, I was a student in your history class up at Kalamazoo College.
Oh, my, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
I think that probably the commission would have had to have gone ahead anyway and issued the bonds because of the circumstances. That's one of those unusual circumstances that occurs, we hope it's unusual, which necessitates a departure from a general principle.
Mr. Allen, would you care to comment on the statement which Mrs. Robinson made concerning our security in this slogan of a debt-free city? She commented on the danger of debt-free becoming a sort of a sacrosanct principle, and regardless of need, of the city sticking to it, through thick or thin, come what may. And she views that, I think, with some, that possibility, with some alarm. Would you want to comment on that?
Oh, I'm not so worried about that. In the first place, there are many things that we can do by issuing bonds which are not pledged as a general obligation of the city. We issue the bonds, but we don't pay out any money in interest which is taken away from the general budget. For example, we have what are known as self-liquidating projects. A parking lot is one example. The bonds are paid off from the revenue of the parking lots. It's true that you pay interest, but the money is derived from the fees charged on the parking lot. That would also be true, for example, with a water conditioning plant, if one were to be built, and some cities have done it that way. So we wouldn't have to remain debt-free, and we still could issue that type of bond.
And you could still be debt-free according to the sense in which the term is used now, is that right?
That's right.
In other words, when you went in debt, you'd go into debt on revenue bonds, according to your idea.
And that would not be a debt of the city. Because it's only a debt of the city, I'm speaking now perhaps in a technical sense, if it is a general obligation of the city.
But don't you think that with other problems, that, of which that wouldn't be true, that there is the tendency always to see them in terms of what that's going to do to this debt-free budget? It seems to me that our first, the first reaction of our city's thinking, and the commission reflects the city's thinking in that particular thing, is how much is it going to cost, rather than analyzing the need. And then I still do think that that there are times when we have used it as an excuse, when maybe we had very legitimate reasons for coming to the decision that we did, but we just didn't want to face up to those reasons publicly. And therefore, there has been a tendency to hide behind this statement.
Mrs. Robinson, did I understand you to say that you felt that the city should not go in debt in prosperous times and should probably go in debt in bad times?
Oh, no, no, no. No. I wouldn't make an overall statement of that kind. I would say that there would be more justification to not be so thrifty in bad times as in good times, which is quite the contrary to the thing that we ordinarily think. Because when the individual citizens are uneasy, it's a time when the government has to step forward competently and courageously, whether or not it's going to involve them in some debts.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Allen, would you care to comment on that point?
I would say that when we have times of high prices, such as we have now, then that would be probably the worst time to go into debt, for the reason that debt is usually used and should be used for capital expansion. And we should not make our capital expansion when our dollar will buy less in terms of building material, such as now.
But what if the need is great, Mrs. Robinson?
If the need is great for a particular building at this time, I would say, such as it is for the schools, and I again point out that I know that's in a different taxing unit. Even then, I say the school building should be built at this time when the children are needing the school.
Well, this has been a very interesting discussion. I'm sorry that we can't carry it on any longer. I think it's interesting that both of our participants have agreed that the debt-free idea should not be sacrosanct and that there might be occasions when we ought to depart from it. Next week, our program will center around two important community activities, White Cane Week, which is April 24th to 30th this year, and the work of the Kalamazoo County Cancer Society.
The Bank with the Clock, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at Portage Street and at Washington Square, has enjoyed bringing you another in the series of programs Know Your City. They hope you found the broadcast concerning a debt-free city interesting and informative, and suggest that in a pay-as-you-go city, you use a pay-as-you-go checking account. The handy check service that's available to you at the Industrial State Bank, and which you pay only as you use it. You're invited to stop in and open a handy check account at the Bank for Savings, the Industrial State Bank, Michigan Avenue at Portage Street, or at Washington Square. This is WKZO in Kalamazoo. Say, what are you doing?